This is GamesAtWork.biz with Michael Martin and Michael Rowe, your weekly podcast about gaming technology and play. The thoughts and opinions on this podcast are those of the hosts and guests alone and not the opinions of any organization which we have been, are, or may be affiliated with.
This is episode 275, Virtual Chickens.
Everyone to another episode of GamesAtWork.biz. This is Michael Martin coming to you from a very rainy, very wet North Carolina at-home studio, and grateful for the fact that we're recording, grateful that I'm connecting again with you, Mr. Michael Rowe, founder, co-host, extraordinaire. How are you doing today?
Hey, I'm doing well, Michael. And it's funny, I don't see any rain. I'm looking out and it's cloudy, but no rain here. It's amazing how weather happens in different places differently.
And in different times, too, right?
At different times, too. I'm really excited. We got a great show today and have now two guests this week. First, welcome back, Andy Piper, our wonderful friend, and I almost wanted to say co-host, but
sometimes, occasionally,
I'm allowed
maybe
to say that.
Who knows?
Excellent. I'm who knows is always good.
Who knows? Yes, it's a sunny evening here in London, West London, unusually, but apparently we've had the warmest May on record, or something like that, or for a long time. So it's been quite pleasant. Obviously, we can barely step outside without either melting or being attacked by virus molecule, particle, whatever they are, things, viruses. We've also got our most special listener, I think, our MVP listener, Mr. Ian Hughes with us, which is very exciting.
Welcome, Ian.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
See what happens
surreal
when you tweet at us?
Yeah, so I know. It feels like it's a Monday morning and I'm walking around my garden, but except you're actually answering things when I say things. Normally I'm just talking to you and you don't answer back at all. I have to tweet it about an hour later.
If you want, we can ignore you on this show too.
You give it a go. You can try.
What'll be interesting is that when you time shift to the future and you're walking around your garden, if you're going to tweet to yourself.
I know. That's worrying me. There's a loop here but I won't know until Monday, will I? So that's something to look forward to.
Yeah, it could happen. You never know.
It could happen.
Well, we're thrilled to have you here, Ian, and we'd like to start the show with some things you've been tweeting about here just recently, and that is the AWE conference that's going on right now, going spatial, right?
Absolutely. So normally this time of year I'd be in Santa Clara at the Augmented World Expo, which is everyone in AR, VR, XR, whatever you want to call it at the moment, coming together, and lots of presentations across all different types of tracks. So you get the sort of enterprise tracks and you get creative tracks and programmers and developers and artists. And then there's lots of demos and parties and things going on. And it's all focused around the stuff that we all particularly love here. But obviously now we're all at home. So instead they've gone for a slightly different approach. There's a mixture of kind of regular presentations. People tend to be producing the presentation first because they're in that space, and then live Q&A's just on video. But then there's been a whole set of engagements in virtual environments. So there are loads of them now.
Yeah, I was gonna ask, were there any really cool sessions together virtually? Right? I mean, literally, everybody put on their their Oculus or their Vive or whatever.
Lots, and I've attended a few of them. The trouble is, it's on Pacific time, and despite trying to keep up and wait, by the time you get to midnight or 1 o'clock, sometimes your eyes, especially when you're as old as me, they close a little bit, and then you wake up and it's 3 a.m. and you've missed everything. So that's
with Microsoft Build as well. But what they did, and I don't know whether AWE's been doing the same thing, they kind of looped them through the morning for the next day, so that you could kind of catch up. It just wasn't live, and you couldn't, the conversation you were getting was kind of time shifted or you know, your time zone without the original people involved. But yeah,
all the regular kind of traditional talks are there, and they're going to be available for next year, I believe. But it's the events in Altspace VR or touring around in Engage that HTC bought, or Glue were running some sessions as well, and Mozilla Hubs. So they're live events, and there isn't. Some of them may well have been streamed, but it was the purpose of being in the virtual room with all these people. Where most of them were VR headset based as well, so that was quite entertaining. So I went to a couple of those, and I also went to what I believe is next on our list, which is the Museum of Other Realities. But that was one particular space that was hosting some talks and some curated walks around the museum, and it's a giant modern art museum. Cool. Full of things that people have built in lots of other tools like Medium and Quill, and there's even sort of bits of code in there, and it's utterly beautiful. I mean, I just wandered around and felt really, I kind of went to some of the live stuff, but then thought, now I need to see the exhibits, and wandered around just on my own, in that case, just enjoying it and feeling part of these. Some were interactive, some you touched, some were just huge scale, some were weird, quirky things, but it was wonderful.
Oh man, I'm looking at the museum, and I've got a new rig coming in soon. I finally placed my order a week plus ago, and hoping it. Matter of fact, I need to send the note to say, "Yo, what gives?" I know it took me 5 months to decide on it. Why isn't it here now? and it'll be neat because I'll finally have a rig that can appropriately handle modern VR. So now I need to get the rest of the gear after that. But
Michael will be sharing the full spec for his rig.
Yes.
I can. It's not very exciting, but yes.
Well, should do, though, you know, for our audience members who, you know, want to be like Michael. You know, that would be a good thing to do.
That's a very small list.
Yeah. It could be just a few of the people on this podcast right now. You never know, right?
Just get your VR headset sorted. Just...
Yeah. Well, it was interesting to read on the museum's site here, their website anyway, that they do not have a desktop mode. So unlike other places that try to approximate what it's like to be in a virtual space through a web page, they're like, nope, you need to be on. So, Michael, you'll have that ability to do that and kind of feel the sense of scale, Ian, like you were just describing. I imagine there's more than one of the Honey, I Shrunk the Children kind of moments, which a virtual environment art museum would be really well disposed to do that you couldn't afford to do in a real world environment, right?
Absolutely. And there's scale, but there's also different ways to interact with things. So some of the things react to sound, and some react to your presence and your touch in there. And it's, I've still got lots more to see. I've got a location to pop back to and kind of wander around, and there's some I need to go back and see again, because I can see them in my head and I can feel them as I'm talking to you, which is the whole point of this stuff, isn't it? And
yeah.
It's because I was present. It wasn't just a flat screen experience.
So given that this is just happening this week, and this is the population, you know, anybody who's virtually anybody would have been at the conference, how would you rate it in terms of its success of creating community and presence? Again, this is the population that gets it the best. What's your sense of that, Ian?
I think there was a communal sense amongst the companies that do this for a living, that now was their time. Mm-hmm. So there was a positivity. So last year, the physical event, which was the 10th anniversary of this, so this is, you know, there are people, they've been doing this for so long. There was a real buzz last year physically in all these various avenues blooming. And so to kind of be hit with the COVID thing, you've got to do it from home, really challenged them and pushed them and made a lot of companies spark up and kind of finish what they were doing so they could have us in their virtual environments. And so it had a buzz to it. That may be me, but I feel like we've been at something.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, there's been a lot of talk across many different conferences, and you know, we do our conferences, and they've gone to virtual, time shift, etc., because of the virus situation. And the thing that I am hoping happens is that the net value that companies and individuals and organizations are seeing now will not be diminished over time, and suddenly we'll go back to everybody go to Vegas and catch the flu, right? or go to Florida in the middle of the summer because it's cheaper to do a conference there then, right? And actually do it to where the wasted time and travel costs do not happen, but we get more and better ways of interacting and experiencing the event in a virtual co-location method, to where we actually feel the same value of the, you know, the serendipitous walking into next to somebody in the hall and catching up with them and coming up with ideas.
Did I miss the memo where we actually have a game of getting the phrase wasted time into every show? I'm just not sure.
Did I use wasted time completely? I thought I worked around that.
It's a drinking game, Andy. You didn't take a sip, you know.
Hey, I did an update recently. The update worked really well on the iOS platform. It's having problems on the Mac side.
It's almost like you've reconfigured the entire show with a new context.
And I didn't waste anybody's time with that.
Oh,
aha! There you go.
Advertising links that.
Well,
will be in the show.
I think it's time to move on to the
our
next
sponsor
topic.
Will keep funding us
with that massive revenue stream, right?
Yeah, for a free app.
Yeah, exactly. So here's a story that's vaguely reminiscent, as what we just discussed was vaguely reminiscent of other ones too, about Minecraft getting into the dance craze. Actually, Minecraft's been in the news quite a bit here recently. So Diplo, which is a little bit different than Lego Duplo, was in Minecraft here not that long ago. Electric Boogaloo, Blockaloo. Oh, I didn't even recognize
it. It hasn't started yet. It comes out next month. And
that would help here too. 300 artists, right? Yeah. That would probably take an awful long time to watch 300 artists in a Minecraft environment now, wouldn't it?
Now you download it, you do a video screen capture, download it, and play it back at 2x.
So does every...
It's another one about...
Does every virtual world eventually just become an entertainment space, or are there contexts in which they remain, you know, quote-unquote serious office-type work environments? Do we just accept that, you know... socially we have these different contexts that we live in, and therefore the virtual worlds mirror our behaviors and our environments? I mean, we've seen Fortnite, Minecraft, and others add these kind of, you know,
Red Dead,
these kind of
Red Dead,
you know, more social and specifically musical events. I remember we spoke about this a few weeks ago. I remember the same thing happening in Second Life was very popular for a period of time with the music, specifically with the musical content. I mean, is this an inevitable, much in the same way that every mobile phone company becomes a payment banking company, Apple, Samsung, every virtual world eventually just becomes a music space? I'm just curious what everybody thinks.
I don't think so. I think during the experimentation phase, as they're trying to figure out their unique value prop and business model to grow, they'll leverage. Just think of it as a marketing event, right? This is their marketing event to say, "Hey, we're cool too. Don't forget about us." But ultimately, pick your space. We're designed to do boardroom meetings. But right now, we're going to show you how you can do a boardroom meeting with a guitarist. Right.
That's going to be a pity if that separate. If you think what happens with any venue, you can host any event at it, can't you? You can go to the O2. I mean, I was supposed to be at a Guns N' Roses concert at a football stadium today.
I thought I remember that.
That's not happening.
Yeah.
What's up with
that? And well, yeah, I know something's happened. I don't know. But that's a football stadium being turned into a massive concert venue.
Yeah.
And so that they're not saying that they should or shouldn't be one thing or the other. And when you're in virtual environments, there are clearly some things that are of use to how you might interact with it. You know, you don't need PowerPoint at a Guns N' Roses concert, for instance. But the being able to move around and interact and talk to one another is the same thing. But again, we could direct ourselves to one place so mentally we think, yes, we're down the pub, versus we direct ourselves the other way and we're in the office, and then we behave slightly different in those environments. And that may be that the platform tries to make that happen.
Yeah, that's kind of where my head's at, right? I mean, yes, you can, but to be a valuable platform for a specific market, you're going to focus on that market. So you're talking about seeing Guns N' Roses at a football stadium. I guarantee you that their market is the football fans and the teams, and they were leveraging the downtime to do a concert because it's added revenue, but that's not their core competency. That's not their market. That's not what they're focused on. If you think about it from the perspective of the environment itself, you don't always want to do, just because you can do a game-like or an entertainment-like experience, it's not always appropriate for the platform or the event that's occurring.
Yeah, maybe so, but I'm going to take it on a slightly different tangent, Andy. I love the question, and the thought just struck me, Michael, as you're describing that. First of all, music is a lowest common denominator for the human experience. It's something that even if you are not able to create music yourself, there are so many people that appreciate at least some form of it. So it brings people together. And what are virtual spaces and environments designed to do? They're designed to bring people together. So I would say that's an important characteristic. The one on top of that kind of struck me here is that my reality can be very different than your reality that is happening at the same time. So maybe I've gone to Wembley to transport myself back in time and hear the Beatles play, right? And I can experience that. And I might experience that together with the lot of you. And we might have a conversation. We might do something creative that now persists over time. And that becomes part of a new experience. It could be a new artistic expression. It could be a commentary on the music and the 60s and what was going on at the time. And it's an educational thing. It could be a whole range of things. So the neat bit to me, Andy, about your intriguing question is, does everything devolve into a music environment? Probably not. But because of the metaverse type concept, and you can layer on a reality on top of something else, you can wind up essentially having multiple realities that are happening simultaneously or that are happening spanned over time that you can interact with and choose. So
is that why I find you on WebEx always sitting there doing this, bouncing your head?
Well, look,
you know, headbang.
We definitely should move on. We definitely
let
should move
it be,
on to the next
baby.
Week, or yes. Another topic. But just on the back of what you just said, Michael, what you just said around like being a lowest common denominator made me think of the iPod and Apple repeatedly saying, you know, music is at the core of Apple's DNA, you know, in their presentations, you know. And I think you're absolutely right. It's a feel-good thing. It's bring people together, mindset-wise thing, and it's fascinating to see how that's been the foundation for the success of a lot of the or a number of tech companies, or that's where the direction they've gravitated towards that industry. Anyway, I'll leave somebody to choose another thing we should talk about.
Well, why don't we talk about together for just a moment then, since you're on the subject of being together and music and much more. So there was an article that popped through the streams about the BBC now having a capability called Together, which allows for people to experience a time-based event at the same time, interact with one another. And Michael, in the pre-show, you were saying, yes, just like 20 other things that do pretty much the same thing. Mm-hmm. And there's probably not much more you want to add to it than that, but I do know.
Well, no, the thing I was going to add since we're hitting this one is, you know, this is another one of those things that we've been trying for a long time that I think the current COVID situation is helping us out with from a market perspective. I remember 14 years ago talking to people around building out communal watching experiences. I remember trying to do this in virtual worlds with streaming video content in. We keep trying to do this, and maybe it takes off this time. I've talked to entertainment companies years ago, and they're like, yeah, we really want to make it so you can have the movie theater experience, but with everybody sitting at home. So you can, you know, hear the other person yelling at the movie screen. It's like, if I'm watching something, I just want to watch it. I understand the purpose, but it's one of those. It's like, here we go again. Maybe it'll take off right this time.
Well, Andy, you had mentioned that there's something rather particular in the UK market that this kind of tickled your memory on too.
So there was a show called W1A, which was a pastiche, a parody show about a satire, I should say, really about, you know, management at the BBC, and it followed on from a great one they did about the Olympics, the Olympics in London as well, the same cast, and it reminded me of a particular thing where the BBC was, you know, trying to go after the youth market, trying to do everything to rebrand, trying to like throw all the technology against the wall. And they came up with this thing called BBC Me. So I'll share that. Again, this was a fictional satirical show. It's not a real thing. But I would also say, having said all of that about the BBC throwing technology against the wall and so on, I've always thought the BBC does an incredibly good job. Especially with things like iPlayer, which has, as far as I understand it, was kind of possibly even an unsanctioned thing when it got, you know, invented. You know, they've got some incredibly smart technical people at the BBC who do push the boundaries. So I also want to like make it clear that I'm very respectful of the people they have working there and the things they come out with.
I second that, Andy. BBC is stonkingly good, and the R&D department do cracking things. I mean, it's the W1A thing was the BBC, but it's kind of like watching The Office. It's every corporate meeting you ever had is represented in every single episode. It's wonderful.
And just a little bit cringy, I suppose, right?
Not just a little bit, definitely cringy. Not just a little bit. And they actually did a Zoom. Did a Zoom.
Looking at the cast, sure, I actually recognize some of these actors.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, Hugh Bonneville and stuff.
Yeah, Hugh.
And David Tennant. That's right. He does the voiceover.
Yeah, does and
so you got
Simon Harwood looks familiar.
They did a voiced.
Yes. Huh. They all are major.
They did a YouTube episode on a Zoom meeting recently as well, which was very funny. So it's like, you know, the show ended, I think, 2 or 3 years ago, but they did a reunion kind of Zoom meeting. How are we going to relaunch the BBC after this, after the lockdown, with the same cast? It was very good.
Are any of you watching any of the Apple TV shows? And I'm specifically thinking about the video game company one that just did theirs on their Zoom episode, which was hilarious.
The video game company?
Yeah. I'm going blank on the name of it. Let me just... it was so good. It blew its name right out of my head.
Actively.
And using the Apple TV app is so easy to find things. it's like Mythic Quest. About this. Mythic fact, Quest.
Julie Fogg, one of our friends, in the list. Past through Virtual Worlds, she was tweeting about this yesterday. So yeah, that needs to be on my list for sure.
The first season has its ups and downs. I enjoyed it because I'm just goofy that way. But they did their first episode of the new season all filmed on iPhones. Sorry, it's not an Apple podcast. And
so say you
all Zoomish, right? About everybody being stuck at home, and it's the filming is excellent. The storyline is funny. I just enjoy it. And all I can say is shower, please shower.
Well, you know, for all of us, you know, being at home, that is an important thing to do on a regular basis, regardless of what day it is.
I do it once every other Tuesday, whether it's needed or not.
Well, if it was only once every other Tuesday, you wouldn't need this our AR capability from this Mashable article, because you would exude enough of a 2 meter or 6 foot yes. zone and not need to have the, you know, that sort of AR bubble around you.
Michael, it would cause this. It. Yeah, this is really cool. Sodar is showing an app that allows an AR app that gives you the visual distance of a 2 meter radius around you looks like, right? So that you can do social distancing. Now, of course, that assumes that you walk around with your phone stuck in front of your face, like we've talked about for some time now.
Yep.
But the basic concept is good. And as we get AR glasses and other things, as those start becoming mainstream soon, then I think this is even more important. But I thought it was a really neat example of taking advantage of, again, the current situation, to test out new technology and allow people to visualize things better. Because I've seen many places recently where I have to go run an errand and they have their, you know, 6 feet or 2 meter distances marked off, and people just don't understand personal space. They don't understand that distance.
I'm sure, Ian, the word kukan probably means a little bit to you too. So that notion of that personal space, that bubble around you, do not come into my bubble, you know, certainly has expanded these days. And I've felt the same thing, Michael, that a lot of folks don't quite get it. And something like this could help, but so could things like your watch giving you some haptic feedback that you're about to encroach on someone's environment. Not to say that all watches can do haptic feedback.
I think your watch would have a little hand that comes out like a big, and just smacks you upside the head and goes, "Get away from them! You're too close."
That does seem an appropriate way to get rid of somebody.
Yes, or to paraphrase from Jurassic Park,
That's not paraphrasing. That's actually directly from Jurassic Park.
Of course, there's a quote there we'd have to spell out specifically to find that clip, wouldn't we? How many A's would that be?
What do we all think about chickens?
Oh,
I think they're great fried.
Yeah, I need to hear more about this. What is this couch chicken game?
Okay, so Ken Hudson, who's somebody we probably all know from virtual world times, I certainly know him from then, in lockdown with his son, recreated a video game version of a game that they'd been playing at home. His son's had a small knitted chicken or crocheted chicken that his mum had made, and as kids they would play a game of trying to throw it onto the couch. And because it sort of bounces, and they worked out a point system right where it was. And so Ken said, to kind of encourage his son into tech, why don't we make a game of it? And they've been talking about it for years, apparently, because they're, you know, not quite young, but they've been talking about it for years. But because of lockdown, they just got on with it and did it. And he pinged me the link to it. And I didn't know the backstory before that, but he's since published a video explaining what he was doing with it and why he was doing it. And so the original virtual chicken that was crocheted is now a virtual chicken that's bouncing around in an Apple app.
It's a fun game.
It could work really well in AR.
It's a fun game. I saw the link when you posted it. I downloaded it. I've played, you know, 15, maybe not quite 15 levels in, but I was like, It's a lot of fun, and you get further away from the couch, you get different angles, there's wind coming out from the curtains.
Yeah. Nothing like chicken physics, right? Oh my, and that must be my call saying it's time for Michael to go.
Awkward.
Awkward. Yeah. So, gents, I've had a ball reconnecting here. I noted we didn't get through much of our list. We had so many good things. We'll put them in the show notes so you can find them again later. But I do definitely have to run. So have a good one.
Enjoy, everybody.
And we'll talk soon again.
See ya.
Cheers, guys.
That was awesome.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye-bye. You've been listening to GamesAtWork.biz, the podcast about gaming technology and play. We are part of the Blueberry Podcasting Network, and would like to thank the band Random Encounters for their song, Big Blue. You can follow us on Twitter at GamesAtWork_biz or at our website at GamesAtWork.biz.